So we read yesterday, we're discussing this concept. This is the elaboration of Bhaktivinoda Thakur in Bhajan Rahasyam on the fifth verse, Shikshastikam, Ayinanda Tanusha Kinkaram. And he's elaborating on this word Kinkara, Kinkar Bhav, which means the mood or the mellow of a servant. Jivara Sarupaya Krishnara Nityadas. Every jivatma is a serving unit, a unit of conscious unit of serving, intended for the service of the Lord. And everyone is serving the Lord. Every jiva is serving the Lord, either favorably or unfavorably. But serve we must. So we read this verse yesterday, and there's a commentary we're continuing to discuss. The verse is by Prabhupada Saraswati, describing this the resolution to serve Radharani, the lotus feet of Radharani, even if we take birth after birth, Janmani Janmani. Kai Karanyam Eva Mama Janmani Janmani Syat. Birth after birth may I attain the position of being a maidservant, a kinkari, a Vrishabhanu Nandini of Radharani. So this is the principle that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu disseminated through his teachings and through the six Goswamis. The aspiration of the Gaudiya Vaishnava is to become a dasi, mostly, let's say, a Radhadasyam, a servitor of Srimati Radharani. All the Goswamis, they were servitors of Radharani. They were manjaris, or they are manjaris. And they were teaching the intricacies of how to become qualified and attain such eternal service at the lotus feet of Srimati Radharani. So in this verse, under discussion by Prabhupada Saraswati, he's using this term here, Tasya para rasasara vilasa murti. The Srimati Radharani is the vilas murti. She's the form of intimate pastimes, the form of the most enjoyable pastimes, vilas, for Krishna in the kunjas of Vrindavan. And it says, Anandakanda param adbhuta sokya lakshmi. Anandakanda. This reminds us of a prayer by Narottam Das Thakur. He's describing the process initiated by Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. Kevala Anandakanda. You know that song? What is that song? Parama Karuna Pahundui Jana Nitai Guru Chandra. He says, Kevala Anandakanda. He says, this sankirtan, this glorification of the holy name is Kevala Anandakanda. That is simply, it is blissful. There's nothing else here but bliss, but enjoyment. Because this is a natural expression of the liberated soul. When the soul is liberated from all fetters of material attachment, then he can actually experience his true nature. What's prohibiting us from experiencing our true nature, which is blissfulness, is all of our anarthas and attachments. The overlay of the pure soul. The bliss is there. It's right under the lid. It's like you have a pot, and inside the pot there may be a small candle burning, a flame, but it's in a covered pot. And you lift up the cover and you see the light. So our bliss, our natural blissfulness, is being covered. And as we pure, it's kind of like someone. I can't think. Well, anyway, the Prabhupada uses this analogy that the soul now is covered by an abnormal situation. This body, this mind, it's just full of ignorance and full of suffering. So we, a moment of happiness, or what they say, happiness in the material world is simply relief of distress. We get a little relief. We're hungry, then we eat something, oh, I'm happy. That happiness is only relief of distress. So the whole material life is just based on distress and relief. Distress, relief. We're distressed. We're tired. Oh, I'm distressed by being tired. And then we sleep. Oh, I feel fresh. Now I'm happy. Oh, I'm distressed by being hungry. Oh, I eat. Oh, now I'm happy. I'm full. Oh, I'm distressed by loneliness. I have no friendship. I have no camaraderie with anyone. I have no social intercourse with anyone. Oh, then I meet someone and I joke with them and I speak with them. I enjoy with them. Oh, now I'm happy. So we're empty. Alone, we're empty. So we're so much dependent on outside circumstances and situations and persons and places in order to remove the distress. So we're always seeking. We're always seeking something from someone, somewhere, somehow. But the Lord, the liberated soul, or at least the liberated souls are teaching that everything we're looking is within ourselves. The kingdom of God lies within you. Jesus preached, the kingdom of God lies within you. The kingdom of God is a blissful abode. Ananda Dham. They sometimes have these guest houses. Anand Krishna Dham. Anand Krishna Dham. Well, it's a fact. When you're with Krishna, when you're Dham means abode, means residence, domicile, living with. So when the soul is living with God, then he's blissful. Anand Krishna Dham. Right? Anand Krishna Dham. But the principle is true, that when one is in the abode, when one is living in the abode, or the Dham, or the realm of Krishna, it's blissful. So what does that mean? That means to always be engaged in the service of Krishna. As I said, we're a serving unit. So when we're serving Krishna, then we're blissful. And this is our natural position. So this verse, Prabhupada Saraswati is saying, Ananda Kanda, that he's saying that Radharani is the Ladini Shakti of Brajachandra, who is Ananda Kanda. He is the source of transcendental bliss. Radharani is a Dira Dira Nayaka, a heroine who, with tearful eyes, speaks crooked words to her beloved. And for this reason, Sri Nanda Nandan is completely controlled by Radha. Radharani always brings Sri Nanda Nandan into submission. Sri Krishna is the source of transcendental bliss. And Srimati Radharani is his supremely wonderful Soumya Lakshmi, gentle goddess of fortune. Because that's the verse Prabhupada Saraswati is saying. He's saying, Param Adbhuta Soki Lakshmi. So she's the goddess of fortune. What type of fortune? The fortune of happiness. Generally, we think of goddess of fortune, even when we have these days, Lakshmi Puja, and people, they worship Lakshmi also on, I believe, on Diwali. They worship Lakshmi with many lights. They paint their house, and they light up their house, so Lakshmi will glance at them. And they interpret Lakshmi to mean money. Fortune means lots of money. But in this case, Radharani is the Soumya Sokya Lakshmi. She's a very Soumya, gentle, tender counterpart of the Lord, soft-hearted. She's a Soumya Sokya Lakshmi. Means that she's the goddess of fortune that brings happiness. And this is the greatest fortune. Like many millionaires are unhappy. Many crorepatis are so much in anxiety, so fearful, they can't sleep at night without tranquilizers. They're afraid that the CBI is going to bust them. The CBI is going to come and get all their money in the mattress. It's like the FBI. Or they're afraid that the gundas or dacoits are going to rob them at gunpoint. So much fear is there. But Radharani, she's the goddess of happiness and bliss. And she controls Krishna and gives Krishna so much happiness by all her movements, all her expressions, all her behavior. Lakshmi Devi, who always enjoys pastimes on the chest of Narayan, is very restless and proud of her opulence. But the Prema Lakshmi of Braj, Sri Radha, is very sweet and endowed with a gentle, steady nature. So Lakshmi and Vaikuntha, Lakshmi Narayan, Lakshmi Vishnu, she's very proud. She's a Brahmani. Lakshmi is a Brahmani, and she's very proud, knowing her position, how everyone's always petitioning her and begging her and worshipping her for fortune. But she herself becomes humbled before the goddess of Prema. The goddess of Prema, the Prema Lakshmi, is Srimati Radharani. Braja Prema Lakshmi is none other than Radharani. She holds that crown. She's the queen of Prema. And Lakshmi becomes awed. She becomes awestruck and completely attracted by the intense Prema of Srimati Radharani. And she wants to have that Prema. And she's aspiring for the fortune of Radharani. She's aspiring to have the fortunate position. Usually if we see someone is fortunate, oh, he's very fortunate. Why? Because of position, because of power, because of money, because of influence. So we may become envious or desirous of having a similar position or similar opulence or power or influence. So Lakshmi, although she's so powerful and so proud of her Varna as a Brahmin and as the goddess of fortune and money, she becomes desirous to enter the rasa dance. She becomes desirous to dance with Krishna, like Radharani. But unfortunately, or sadly, she does not receive that fortune because she's too attached to her Mahishi Abhiman. Her mentality of thinking, I am a queen. I'm the queen of Vaikuntha. I'm the queen of money. I'm the queen of all opulence. So, but at the same time, she strongly desires, so desirous to have the position of the Prem Lakshmi, Srimati Radharani, or to have a similar position, that she comes to Braj. Lakshmi Devi leaves Vaikuntha, she gives up her post of service, she comes to Braj, and she tries to get into Braj, and Purnamasi says, oh, whoa, 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 wait a minute. Where are you going? Oh, I want to enter the Rasa dance. No, but you have this Abhiman. You have this Abhiman that I am Lakshmi, I am the wife of Narayan, Lakshminath is my husband, I'm a Brahmani. Purnamasi Yogamaya says, wait a minute. You want to enter the Rasa dance? You have to have a Gopi Abhiman. You have the Gopi Abhiman. You have to think like a Gopi. You have to feel like a Gopi. Acha. Lakshmi says, what is a Gopi? Well, there's certain characteristics of a Gopi, and there's certain activities of a Gopi. And Lakshmi says, what are those activities? Well, first of all, you have to go behind the cows. You have to go behind the cows, and when they go poop, poop, like this, and it falls on the ground, then you have to run right behind while it's still warm. And you have to pick up the gober. You have to gather the gober, and you collect it in a lump, and then you have a little pan, and you put it in a pan, and then you go behind another cow and another, and you put it in a pan, it's called a parat. And then you put the parat on your head. And then you put one hand on your hip like this. And then you walk like this and go back. And then you mix some straw, some busa, and then you make some patties. Can you do that? Lakshmi Devi, can you do that? I don't think I can do that, because look at my fingernails. Now if I go playing around with this gober, I'll break my nails. It's not possible for me to do this. So then he asks her different things. Well, okay, all right, you failed that test. But do you think you can get, do you know, on the back of the cow, there's something in the back of the cow, it's called stan. And it goes like this. You think you can milk the cow? Milk the cow? Me? Milk the cow? I have so many servants doing that. In Vaikuntha, so many Sevites. I've never set my foot in the Goshala. All I do, I make some burfi, some rasgulla. The servants bring the milk to the kitchen, to my kitchen, and I make some rasgulla, some rubri for my pati. I don't know. This kind of, no, I can't do this. So Yogamaya Purnamasi interviews her, and she says, listen, I'm sorry, you can't cross this river. This river here is Yamuna, Kalindi. And this is a river of prema. And across this river, you have to be in the mood of the Sakis. Because this river is a liquid prema Vishaka Sakhi. This Yamuna Kalindi is a liquid prema oozing from the body of Vishaka Sakhi, who is full of Shamras. She is absorbed in Shamras. And all the gopis are absorbed in Shamras. Every word, every thought, every activity is only for the pleasure of Sham. So her body is flowing. This Sham Ras is flowing from her body in a Prem Nadi. And this Prem Nadi is taking the form of this Yamuna here in Braj. So in order for you to cross this river, your heart has to be swimming in this Sham Ras. But you have all these other rasas. I'm Lakshmi, I'm a Brahmani, I can't get my fingernails dirty, I don't know how to milk a cow. So you better stay here and work on it. Don't call us, we'll call you. We have your application, we'll put it in a file, we'll give you a call. So you just wait right here, and we'll get right back to you. So she said, all right, so she wandered around, and it was a little sunny that day, so she saw a nice tree, it was a bale tree, bilva pera. So she sat under that tree, and she said, well, I know that when saints want to get something, when saints want to get the favor of my husband, they usually do some tapa. They sit in the asan, padma asan. I've seen them, and I've gone with my husband sometimes to visit these saints when he's benedicted them. He's taken me along for the ride. He said, listen, Lakshmi, I'm going to see some saints. They've been doing some heavy austerity. Well, come with me. So I've seen how they sit, so I know. So I'll sit like that. So she started doing meditation in Balvan. Balvan's called Bilvavan or Shrivan, these three names. And underneath this bal tree. And sometimes a few bal leaves would fall down, and they're also edible. You can eat them. So she would eat some leaves. And every once in a while, they make a bal fruit. Bal fruit is very good for the bait. In Mayapur, they always make the bal juice, that orange juice, yellowish orange juice. Very soothing. So every few months, she gets a little bal patch, a bal phool, and she eats some bal fruit. And this way, she passes her time. And she's been passing her time for thousands of years, doing tapasya. And the murti is there in the temple, Lakshmi temple, in Balvan. You can see. And she's meditating, she's praying for the mercy of the Brijbasis. When will the Brijbasis be fortunate and bless me? Because only by the mercy of the Brijbasis can I enter the service of Krishna and Braj. That realization she's understood. So every year in Poshamas, which is December 15th to January 15th, I think so, like this. Every Thursday, on Thursday, which is Guruvar, Brihaspatibar, apparently that's also the day to worship Devi or Durga, I think so. But they go, and every Thursday there's a mela in Balvan. We've personally observed this mela several times. And all the Brijvasis from the Matvan and Vajravan, Bandiravan, Vrindavan, Shringavat, Nidivan, and all the Goswamis from the major temples, they assemble there in Balvan in groves to bless Lakshmi Devi. And they bring so many offerings for her. And then they make a big, each of the different temples makes a big pot of khichdi on alternate Thursdays. One Thursday, Radha Govinda Mandir, another Thursday, Radha Damodar, etc. They take the responsibility of making khichdi bhog, and then Lakshmi gets something nice khichdi. So at least 1 month a year she gets something to eat besides bal patra. So you can imagine, the goddess of fortune who every day in Vaikuntha she's eating chapan bhog. Chakachak. Chakachak bhog. Narayan prasad. She eats Narayan's bhog, becomes prasad, mercy for her. Now, from chapan bhog, she's been reduced to eating chapan bilva patra. Chapan bilva patra, 56 leaves of the bal tree, which is not very delicious. So this fortune, Radharani's fortune, she's the Somya Prem Lakshmi. She's the goddess of Prem, Braja Prem. So just see the extent of her fortune. Sometimes the acharyas say the Radharani's fortune is as big as the Himalayas. That's the greatness of her fortune. It's the biggest Himalayas. And the fortune, in comparison, the fortune of Lakshmi Devi is like a till kabij. Tail kabij? Till, sesame seed. This is Lakshmi's fortune? Sesame. And Radharani's fortune? Himalayas. Himalayan Parvat. So huge. So this point is being made here. So, Lakshmi Devi, she's always enjoying pastimes in the chest of Narayan. She's restless and proud of her opulence. Restless means chanchala. Lakshmi is chanchala. Sometimes at the feet, sometimes at the chest. But Radha is very sweet and endowed with a gentle, steady nature. She is Krishnamayi in Prema, which means that she sees Krishna everywhere, internally and externally. Srimati Radhika is Gaurangi in Ras, Gaurangi, which means Radha is so expert, so beautiful, dances so well, and sings so sweetly that she becomes Gaurangi, golden-limbed, and Krishna becomes so attracted by her that he becomes Radhamayi and Gauranga. She is, in other words, when Krishna feels so much attraction to Radharani, then he becomes Gauranga. Because Gauranga is a form of Krishna trying to experience Radha's attraction. How the three intimate reasons for Lord Krishna's appearance is Lord Chaitanya. One is to experience the Radha Mahima Pranaya, the greatness of Radharani's love, and the sweetness that she experiences by serving him. So Radharani is Gaurangi, golden limbed, and she exhibits the most beautiful feature of her golden limbs in the rasa dance. Because in the rasa dance, all of her limbs are moving so attractively, so beautifully. And all of her limbs during the rasa dance, all of Radharani's limbs, anga means her arms, her legs, her neck, her head, her chest, her waist, her hips, her knees, her feet, her ankles, her fingers, her toes. This is all the anga. They become gaurangi, which means they become suffused and saturated with a rich, molten golden color. And this molten golden color is actually the expression or the oozing or the exuding of her Mahabhav. The Mahabhav in her heart is being spread throughout her transcendental form and expressing itself through all the movements, all the mudras and movements of every limb of her body. And then she's known as Gaurangi. And then she's Krishnamayi. She sees Krishna within her heart and within her mind, and she sees Krishna outside of herself. And she expresses her Mahabhav to all these different expressions of Krishna. So when Krishna sees Radharani in this feature, then it says he becomes so attracted to Gaurangi that he becomes Radhamayi. He becomes full of Radha. He sees Radha externally and internally. And as Radharani becomes Gaurangi in the expression of her intense love for Krishna, then Krishna becomes Gauranga and his expression of his intense love for Radha. Radharani is Sarva Lakshmimayi in Aishwarya, which means that she manifests everywhere and Krishna sees her everywhere. And she is the prominent Gopika in Madhurya. So now, this is because some of the verse, Prabhupada Saraswati, is glorifying Radharani's attributes, and then part of the verse is praying for service. So service to Vrishabhanu Nandini, Srimati Radhika, is very difficult to attain for Brahma and others. Brahma, being endowed with an awareness of Bhagavan's majesty, Aishwarya Gyan, is unable to comprehend the Madhurya Rasa of Braj. In other words, Lord Brahma, he's serving in the material world as the creator, or assistant creator, Adikarta, along with Krishna or Vishnu. And he's absorbed in the opulent feature of the Lord. God is great, worshipping, of course, he's expanded from Garbhadakshaya Vishnu. He's Amsha, Swayambhu. He's born from the navel of the Lord, Padmanabh. And he's well aware of the greatness of the Lord, the grandeur of the Lord, the omnipotence of the Lord, the unlimited extent of the Lord's power. And he can see that, and he can perceive it. He's connected with that. He's very much connected to it. He appeared on a lotus flower coming from Garbhadakshaya's navel. But that intimate feature of the Lord, he doesn't know, he doesn't see. Just like you may see the policeman on the street. You have a business, and the policeman is patrolling the sidewalk, and you meet him every day, hello sir, hello this, that, come in for coffee, or whatever, prasad. And you see him, and you know him as a policeman, lieutenant or captain or whatever, and you see him in that official feature, sometimes you see him reprimanding the criminals, but you don't know what he's like at home. What he's like at home in the privacy of his own home, playing with his children. He gets down on the floor and plays horsey, and the kids get on his back and they ride him around, and you know, like, and the kids even tie him up with his own handcuffs. His kids may take the handcuffs from his belt and say, "Daddy, put your hands behind your back. You're under arrest." And then the policeman puts his hands behind his back, and then the kid fastens the handcuffs on the policeman, the father. And then the father says, "Okay, I open the handcuffs," and then they can't find the key, and it's a big problem. I call the police station. Say, "I need the keys for the handcuffs. My kids handcuff me. I can't eat dinner." So this is the very intimate side of the Lord. But the man on the street has no purview to this. He cannot see the policeman like this because he has no access. He has no adhikari. He can't enter the private house of the policeman and see his intimate dealings with his children in the confines of his own home, privacy of his own home. In the same way, Brahma, he's locked up inside the shell of this universe. He can't see. It's like being locked inside a basketball. If somebody locks you inside a basketball or a soccer ball, you can only see the inside of the dome of the soccer ball. So Brahma is stuck inside the dome of this universe. He can't see beyond. That's one point. Due to position, he can't see beyond. And due to his bhav, what is his bhav? Because we actually see according to our bhav. Atmanam manyate jagat. The term is Atmanam manyate jagat. That the Atma, the person, the individual, he considers the universe, he examines or understands or perceives the universe in terms of the position of his own mind. Atmanam manyate jagat. Mind means your bhav, your bhavana. Bhavana means your idea, your conception, what you consider important, what you consider moral. One man's morality is another man's immorality. One man's right is another man's wrong. It depends on the culture, depends on the upbringing, depends on the training. So it's relative to the circumstance and the individual. So that's bhavana, the idea. But then this word atmanam can also mean bhav, the mellow, the feeling, the mood, the emotion. So a person actually sees the world according to his own mood or bhav. So the bhav or the loving mood or mellow of Brahma towards the Lord is one of dasya, servitude. Extremely, very humble. He's very humble before the Lord and feels very tiny before the Lord. Like when he went to Dwarka, when Brahma, the four-headed Brahma, went to Dwarka, and he was feeling a little bit proud of his identity as Chaturmukh Brahma when he was questioned by the doorman, Daruka, or maybe whoever. And then Krishna detected a touch of pride in his heart, Chaturmukh Brahma. So then immediately, instantaneously, Lord Krishna called all the Brahmas from all the Brahmandas, all the universes. Some Brahmas had 8 heads, 16 heads, 24 heads, 32, 50, 1,000, 10 lakhs, lakhs of heads. And all those Brahmas came somehow or other into the Siddharma Assembly House in Dwarka, which obviously expanded to infinite proportions. And they all fit in there. And then Chaturmukh Brahma was escorted inside. Yes, yes, the Lord will see you now. So he walks in. He's thinking, why did he detain me? Why did he ask me, who is that Brahma? Which Brahma? I'm the only Brahma. I'm the Chaturmukh Brahma. I'm in charge of north, east, south, west, all 8 directions. Then he entered the assembly house and, wow. He was astounded. It was chamatkar, dumbfounded, vismita. What is this? So many Brahmas. I thought I was the only Brahma. There's thousands of Brahmas everywhere. And at that moment, then he said this famous verse. When I entered that assembly, I felt like a fly amongst elephants. I felt like a mosquito amongst elephants. I was so tiny, an elephant is so big. Mosquito. Machar. Machar. I was a little tiny machar among elephants. I felt like a mosquito among elephants. So therefore, because of his bhav, the way he sees and feels towards the Lord, and his own locus standi, where he's positioned in the universe, does not permit him to see the Lord of Vrindavan. Because that's way beyond this Maya Jagat, way beyond this causal ocean. Brahma's on this side. And secondly, his bhav, he doesn't have this madhurya, this sweetness. Matter of fact, he becomes dumbfounded when he sees a slight exhibition of the Lord's sweetness. When the Lord exhibited his sweetness in Braj, and he got to see that by the Lord's mercy, he challenged it. He challenged the Lord. This is not God. This little guy with all these coward boys, he doesn't know the first thing about etiquette. He's carrying in his left hand, which is his stool hand. Left hand is for backdoor. Left hand is for backdoor business. It's a muchi hat. It's a contaminated hand. In his left hand, he has some yogurt and rice. And in his palm, and between his fingers, he has some lemon pickle or mango pickle. He has pickle between his fingers. And in his hand, he has yogurt mixed with rice. And that's his tali, makeshift tali, his left hand. So he's taking his right hand, taking the yogurt rice, and then taking a pickle to give a little extra taste, then eating it and walking along with the coward boys with his flute and cowarding stick, danda, tucked in his dhoti. And he's walking along. Who is this moochie kid? This moochie 7-year-old kid who's eating from his backdoor hand. This is a no-no. This hand is only one business, a moochie business. You don't carry your food in this hand and eat from this hand. And he's Bhagavan? He's Ishvara Parama Krishna? Sajjananda Vigra? Forget it. This guy can't be God. Let me just find out what he does when I steal all the coward boys and calves and put them in a cave for 1 year, which was only 1 minute. So even he became bewildered. Brahma. He could not understand because he doesn't have the bhav to understand the sweet feature of the Lord. Madhurya Mahi Purushottam, Lila Purushottam Sri Krishna Braj. So very difficult to understand. This is being told in the verse. He's not able to understand. He could not even understand Shyamasundar's early boyhood pastimes, Pogonda Lila. And he became an offender by stealing the calves and coward boys. How then could Brahma possibly understand the profound secrets of the highly confidential adolescent pastimes, Kaishor Lila? Because this Pogonda Lila goes from the age of 5 to 10. There's Gocharan Lila, this Brahma Vimohan Lila, chapter 14 of Dasama Skanda. This is Pogonda Lila, Krishna's Pogonda Lila between the age of 5 and 10. But then after 10, then he entered this Kaishor Lila. And the Kaishor Lila is with the gopis and Gopinath and all this Nikunj Lila. He can't understand, Brahma can't understand Pogonda Lila. What does speak of this Kaishor Lila with Radharani? Radha Krishna Milan, Ras Lila, Holi, Jalkeli, Vanvihar, etc. Impossible. So what is our fortune? What is our? How can we understand? Because we only have one head. We only have one head, Ekshir. And Brahma had Chaturmukh, four heads. With his four heads he couldn't understand. So how can we understand with one head? This is a problem. Only the Brajagopis have the qualification to serve these most confidential pastimes that take place in the Nibrita Nikunj. Nibrita Nikunj means the secluded bowers. The confidential secluded bower groves or forest groves of Vrindavan are called Nibrita Nikunj. Only the Brajagopis have the adhikar, the eligibility to enter there and render service to Radha and Krishna and to understand the needs and necessities of the moment. Without following in the footsteps of the Sakis, it is impossible to attain the prema seva of Radha and Krishna. And this is told in Ramananda Samvag, chapter 8 of Chaitanya Charitamrita, in the discussions of Ramananda Roy with Lord Chaitanya. Sakhi vina e lilaya anyara nahi gati sakhi bhave jaitanre kare anugati Radha Krishna kunja seva sadya se pai se sadya pai tayar nahi kau pai. Sakhi bhav anugati, anugatya. Anugatya means we must be in anugatya. We must be subservient or in line or in submission to superiors. We must always be under superior guidance. Bhajan Shiksha Guru and Bhajan. We must be under superior guidance so that we can progress. So translation says, without the guidance of the Sakhis, one cannot enter the confidential pastimes of Radha and Krishna and Vrindavan. One who worships Krishna in the mood of the Brajagopis, following in the footsteps of the gopis, he can attain the service of Radha and Krishna in the Brajanikunj. There is no other means to achieve this goal. So this is repeatedly told. So this is the whole principle of parampara. Parampara means to follow the follower of the follower of the follower. Everyone's following the one above them. We're following Prabhupada. Prabhupada's following his guru, Bhakti Santa Saraswati. And Siddhanta Saraswati is Nayanamani Manjari. Nayanamani Manjari is following Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Bhaktivinoda Thakur is Kamala Manjari. And Kamala Manjari is following Vilas Manjari, his Diksha Guru. What's the Diksha Guru's name? Bipin Bihari. This is Diksha Guru. And of course he's following his Shiksha Gurus also, Jagannath Das, Gunamandri, Goraki Shuradas Babaji, and Jagannath Das, Rasika Mandri. So in this way, it's a parampara, a Sakhi parampara, Guru parampara, Sakhi parampara. It's following in the footsteps. Anugatya. There's no possibility of entering that domain on one's own power or one's own strength. It all comes by mercy. It's called Aroha Panta. Aroha Panta means the path, means descending process. Avaroha Panta. Avaroha Panta means descend the path, Panta. Avaroha Panta, the descending path. Aroha Panta means the ascending path. But this path of Parampara, or Sakhi Anugatya, means descending path, that the residents of the spiritual world who are absorbed in Astakaliya Seva of Radha and Krishna, they descend. They have one hand and one foot, they have 2 feet in the Leela and one hand in the Leela. And then they stick one hand out of the Leela to the gopi or guru below them. And then they pull him. And then he sticks one hand out and pulls. And then the hands are coming all the way down. And then the guru, with his hand, he extends his hand and he offers the disciple a chance to enter the Leela. And he gives, and when he extends his hand, he's offering the mala, japa mala. Offering the japa mala, the guru is extending opportunity. Please enter the Leela. Please enter the prem seva of Radha and Krishna. The japa mala is 108 beads. 108 beads are 108 gopis. And the head bead is Radha and Krishna. So when he's giving the mala, the guru is saying, please, here's your lifeline. Here's your introduction. Here's your invitation. Here's 108 gopis. Here's Radha and Krishna. Serve them devotedly and determinedly and dutifully and heartfully, now and forever. So this is Diksha. Guru is giving invitation to the Nitya Leela of Radha and Krishna. He's extending his hand. And his hand, you hold on to his hand, and he's holding on to his guru's hand, and it's called Evam Parampara Praptam. And goes all the way to Nikunja Leela, Nibrita Nikunj. So it's only by Guru, it's called Guru Anagatya. Guru Anagatya, Sakhi Anagatya. It's a pretty heated conversation with those parrots. The parrots are going off to some important Leela there. I'd like to have that speed and that Adhikar to follow them. And see what they see and hear what they hear. Shukshari Sambad. In the afternoon in Madhyan Leela and Radhakund, the Shukanshari, they sit in the trees, the Kadamba trees above Radharani and Krishna, and they have discussions about the ruler of Vrindavan, right? This in Govinda Leela Amrita. So that brings us to the end of this verse 15 in our ongoing discussion of Kinkara Bhav or Kinkari Bhav. And tomorrow we continue with this Secrets of Bhajan given by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, wherein he's describing the relationship between Sri Chaitanya Shikshastakam. This is called Panchamayam Sadhana, the fifth stage or the fifth level of Bhajan, where we're engaging in Nam Bhajan with attachment. And if we don't have asakti or attachment, because we're still in the level of Anartha Nivritti, then we study these verses and we pray to these verses and we pray to the authors of these verses while we're chanting Nam, we're chanting the holy name. We pray that these thoughts, these ideas, these aspirations, these feelings, they will come into our heart and they will make some impression there, some samskara. It's called bhakti samskara. So if we're a jatarati sadhaka, we haven't attained this asakti, this level of sakti, we will attain by following this chapter and the teachings and verses of this chapter very quickly. That's the idea. So it's working on both sides. If one is on a level of asakti, which is the fifth level here, then he reads these verses and he relishes rasa. He relishes the glories of Radharani, and he relishes the sight and darshan and pastimes of Radharani in these verses. There's many pastimes in these verses. That's for someone who's actually living, existing on a devotional stage of asakti. Anartha Nivritti, Nishta, Ruchi, Asakti. Then Bhava, then Prema. But for those of us that haven't attained such an exalted state of advancement, then we also read these verses. But we don't see so many pastimes. But we receive impressions. We receive the direction. The direction, we receive encouragement, inspiration, clarification of the conception, and the samskaras to progress very quickly in the right direction. Because our practice of bhakti is supposed to have some direction and some goals. We must know where we're going. So these are signposts along the way. Anartha Nivritti is pointing towards Nishta. Nishta is pointing towards Ruchi. Ruchi is pointing towards Asakti. Asakti is pointing towards Bhav. And Bhav is pointing towards Prema. And what is that Prema? It's the Prema Seva of Srimati Radharani in the groves of Vrindavan. This is the contribution of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya. Radhadasyam, the service of Radharani. So most of all the books of the Acharyas, Rupa Goswami, Raghunath Das Goswami, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Krishnadas Kaviraj, they are elucidating and refining this conception and giving the philosophy and the understanding and the practices of devotion by which one can attain this perfection of life, the eternal service of Radha Govinda in the groves of Vrindavan. So we'll stop there. So these verses are about Radharani. This is Radharani's month. Radharani and Stavamala by Rupa Goswami. In two different verses, he addresses Radharani as Kartiki Devi. And Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Rupa Goswami says this is Urja. This is the month of Urja Brata. Urja means power, strength. And one of Radharani's names is Urjeshri. This is in Prabhupada's Nectar of Devotion in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Urjeshri, the queen or the empress of all powers and all shaktis. So this is the month of Radha Damodar. We worship Radha Damodar. That Damodar, that form of Krishna that's bound by Radharani's love. Namo Radhikaye Twadiya Priyaye Namo Nantalilaya Devaya Tugam. Satyabrata Muni in his prayer, Damodarastikam, because he himself is situated in some mood of Vatsalya. Because he indicates in his prayer, he says, Avirastam. Avirbhav, he says, Avirbhav, he says, I want the Avirbhav, I want to see this form of the Lord. I want to see Krishna Kumar being chased by Mother Yashoda. So this type of icha, this type of desire indicates the bhav of Satyabrata Muni, that he was in this mood of Vatsalya and Satyuga. But nevertheless, having met the rishis and sages, it says there, he heard from Narada Muni and others. Narada Muni has written extensively about the glories of Radharani. So obviously he was aware of the glories of Radharani. So he was describing in Damodarastikam about different features of Yashoda Damodar, because his Ishtadev is Yashoda. I mean, rather, Krishna Kumar being bound by Mother Yashoda. But at the end of the prayer he said, anyway, in case you're wondering, the person who binds Damodar the most, don't forget, is Radharani. So the majority of the prayer is about Krishna Kumar, Damodar, Yashoda Damodar, and his aspiration to have Avirbhav, or Darshan, or to see the presence or manifestation of that form of Krishna, bound by Mother Yashoda. But then he concludes his prayer by saying, Namo Radhikaye Twadiya Priyaye Namo Nanta Lilaya Devaya Tubhyam. That Ananta Lila, that Radharani's unlimited pastimes, that Radharani has unlimited pastimes with the same Damodar. And then this Damodar is worshipped as Radha Damodar. And this Radharani in her Ananta Lila, she binds Krishna so much by her love. No one can bind Krishna more with her love than Radharani. And there's even pastimes in, I think it's Brahma Vaivart Purana, where Krishna was late one time for a Milan, for the Abhisar with Radharani and the Kunja Vrindavan. He was late. So then Radharani took one of the latas, the madhumalati. This is madhumalati right here. See, it's red. It's fragrant at night. So when Radha and Krishna had their Nibritta Nikunja Lila, in Ratri Lila, at night time, and during what we call Ratri Lila or Nisha Lila. And sometimes there's Abhisar, where Radharani is supposed to come out and meet Krishna, and he's late. So Radharani is somewhat upset. So when he comes, he sees that Krishna has the obvious signs of meeting with another gopi, another Nayaka, maybe Shaibya or Padma or perchance even Chandravali. There's some kajal on his lips, and there's some on his eyes, there's some lipstick from the gopi. He kissed the gopi's eyes Krishna kissed the gopi's eyes so his lips became black. And Kaladhar. Adhara means lips and Kala means black. Kaladhar. Krishna Kaladhar. And Krishna and Govinda Lila Amrita Radharani says, Krishna, I see that your lips are as black as your heart. Because she's sulking. She's Manini. Manini Radha. She's in Man. I see that your lips are as defiled as your heart. Defiled. Your lips are indicating Kaladhar. Adhar. Like this. And then his eyes, the gopi kissed his eyes, so there's some red lipstick on his eyes. And Krishna says, no, you don't understand. It was lightning, and it was a very dark night at some of us, and I couldn't see, and there's some katin, some thorns, they scratched me, and the wind, a very cold wind, there was very cold wind out there, and my lips became blue from the cold wind. It's not like this. It's not kajal on my lips. It's not like this. So Radharani is in this mood. So because Radharani, she's internally antar dakshin bahir bhamya. Bahir bhamya antar dakshin. In her heart, she's dakshin. Dakshin sabhav. Means she's submissive. I really want Krishna to stay. I really want to offer everything to Krishna. I really want to love Krishna. But then that's internally, in her heart. But externally, she's in this mood, bhamya sabhav. She's like, contrary, oh, go from here. You go anywhere. I don't want to see you. Go. So she's in this mixed emotions. So on this particular night when Krishna came, and then he was late, it was practically sunrise when he arrived. It was almost the end of Ratri Lila, Nisha Lila, almost Shesh, Nisha Lila Shesh, at the end. So then he was starting to leave, and then she said, she was thinking, no, don't leave. Then she went to the kunj, because the kunj on four sides of Nikunj, there are four kadamba trees. And these kadamba trees are entwined by different types of creepers. Sometimes these Ketaki creepers or these Madhumalati. So then Radharani, she grabbed that Malati creeper, the Malati Lata. She grabbed it and she snapped it off the tree. And she said, Krishna, you come here. You don't go. Stop. Don't go. And she stopped him and then she took this Malati. It's quite like a rope. You can see. It's like a rope. She took it and she took Krishna and tied him to the kadamba tree. She tied one, two, around his waist. So that's why we Gaudiya Vaishnavas, we worship Radha Damodar. That Krishna who is bound in a kunj around the waist by Radharani's prem. Jai Radhe. So this is Radha Damodar month. So Gaudiya Vaishnavas, sometimes you see that people and they put a picture on their altar of Yashoda Damodar. But this is not our conception. The Gaudiya conception is Radha and Krishna, Radha Govinda Yugal. Radha Govinda Yugal. So we don't have to make any separate effort to worship Yashoda Krishna. It's not our bhav. Everything must be unified, harmonious. Our bhajan, our smaran, everything, our ishta, everything is unified. It's not kitri bhajan. A little of this, little of that, little of this, little of that. It must be tivrena. Tivrena bhakti yogena. Tivrena bhakti yogena. Very tivra. Tivra means very concentrated, very defined, very exact. And someone says, where you're going in your car, where are you going? I'm going east, and I'm going north, and I'm going south. Acha. You're driving your car, you're going purva, dakshin, uttar, all at once. And you're like a crazy person. You have to set your direction and go there. You have your ishta, you have your bhaj, you have sadhan, you have sadhya and sadhan. Sadhya, your goal, your defined goal. Radha Krishna Prem Seva, in the kunjas of Vrindavan, in the mood of Mantri, Babalas Rati, Mantri Bhav. This is Gaudiya conception, Gaudiya Siddhant, Radha Dasyam. They're very clear. This is sadhya. And then sadhana, and shravanam, kirtanam, vishnu smaranam. Shravanam, kirtanam, smaranam. All. Radha Krishna Shravanam, Radha Krishna Smaranam, Radha Krishna Kirtanam. Radha Krishna Pranamor, Jugala Kishor, Jivane Marane Gati, Aro Nahimor, Sham Gori Ange Dibo, Chandanera Ganda. So this is the Ishta, this is our goal, Gati. So to attain that goal, you must become Sakir Anugata. Saki Anugata, Vaishnava Anugata, Guru Anugata. We must be Vaishnava Anugatya. Rupa Goswami Anugatya. Raghunath Das Goswami Anugatya. Rupa Raghunatha Padi Hoibi Akuti. We must be eager to follow in the footsteps of Rupa Goswami and Raghunath Das Goswami, Rupa Manjri, Rati Manjri. Their shiksha, their sadhan, their sadhya, and their shastra. Shiksha, sadhan, sadhya, shastra. The four S's. The Goswamis. Right? Nana shastra vichara naika nipano saddharma samstapako lokanam hitakarano chubuvano chubuvane manyo sharanyakaro manyo sharanyakaro. This is our sharan. Goswami sharan. We take shelter of them. And then anusaran. Sharan and saran. Sharan, we take shelter of the Goswamis and we follow in their footsteps. Sharan and saran, like this. So we'll stop there.